Boys and girls, vegans of all ages, welcome to the Vegan with Sky show. Got a beautiful day, a beautiful guest, a wonderful time that we will have. You know, life is short. Let's make the most of it, right? Let's get weird with it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Vegan with Sky show. I am stoked that you're here for another Friday, which means we have another special guest. And I am really excited about that. But we're going to go for about 10 minutes before we bring her on. Before that, allow me to invite you to like, subscribe, and share while I play our theme music. Let's go.
It's the Vegan with Sky show. All the way from sunny Southern California. It's the Vegan with Sky show.
You know, it's Friday, which means we have a very special guest today. But before we get into it, there was a little bit of vegan news that I thought was kind of cute, because a while back I went to Target, which is, you know, I don't really like shopping out with all of the, I don't like being around all the people and shopping with all of the, I don't like it, you know. I do it to appease my my better half, my vegan girlfriend, who I, you know, she likes to go to these places, so I'll go. So we went to a Target. I don't know what it is with women in Target. I don't know why do people like Target? I don't know why, but there's now a new reason. Last time I was there, I saw that Tabitha Brown has a new line, and I absconded with her newsletter. It has cute little stickers and all sorts of stuff in it. It has stickers, but mostly I was disappointed because it's mostly stuff like this, stuff about dogs and pets. But you know what? She had a pet line at Target, which is, who am I to judge? But here is a lesson why I never like to judge the activism and efforts of other vegans, because, you know, Tabitha Brown doesn't really speak to me with her Southern accent. I mean, she's lived in LA for like 15 years or something, and she still talks like, how y'all doing? Ha. I don't really buy it, but you know what? Who am I to judge? Who am I to criticize? You know what I'm saying? This is why I don't like criticizing other vegan activists, because today she has a new thing out. For Veganuary, she has a new line out, her third line with Target. This is Veg News. 34 new food items at Target, all for under $8, flying in the face of all this BS that says that veganism is so expensive and you can't afford it. Veganism is so expensive. How can I afford to go vegan? Well, Tabitha Brown has your answer. Y'all don't like strawberries. Y'all don't like blueberries. Remember that? That was her viral video, right? Y'all don't like vegan food. Y'all don't like strawberries. Strawberries. That's how I say strawberries. Strawberries. She's got like she lays it on thick. I think she's from North Carolina or South Carolina. She lays the Southern accent on real thick. It's part of her charm. That's why she's America's mom now. To say that like Tabitha Brown is America's mom and she's a vegan. Hey, you know what? It doesn't resonate with me, her whole like, you do you and we'll do us and that type of stuff. But look what she's doing for vegans. She's over at Target doing the work. She's got 34 new items, all for under $8. Target is a foodie paradise. Affordable vegan meat alternatives, plant-based ravioli, kitchenware, storage solutions, and more. Now, a lot of it is going to be like little bowls and stuff like that, spatulas. Like, I think the first picture is just like rubber spatulas with wooden handles, which, you know, that's okay. There's room for rubber spatulas and cake batter spatulas and all the rest. There's room for that in the vegan world. We can have fun. We can decorate our kitchens. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm not really the health food vegan, but, you know, I'm a very good cook. I don't like doing much cooking content because I think it makes people feel intimidated. So I try to make like just down and dirty, really quick meals for when I do little cooking stuff. But, you know, that's her whole bread and butter. She won an Emmy, right? I think she won an Emmy. Let's see. So she included a selection of spatulas for $5 with messages such as very good and Sheena's cousin. She has a special set of salt and pepper shakers shaped like her favorite Furfew. I'm guessing Furfew is like a fur baby. You know, again, with the pets, I don't know, man. Like, to me, all domestication is slavery. But that's not for everybody. Not everyone feels the way I do, and that's okay. If you have a pet and you don't think that domestication is slavery, that's okay. You're still vegan. I still love you. Still love you for being vegan. Well-known motivational phrases are strewn throughout. I need more motivational phrases, more than just go vegan. I think go vegan's a good one. Avocado-shaped dip bowls, storage containers, cast iron pans and pots, and a special set of salt and pepper shakers shaped like a Furfew. All right, so it has brought joy to countless people. I don't know who Sando is, but yeah, I guess there's a picture of her eating one of these burgers. You know, I think it says God is vegan? I think that's what it should say. God is vegan. I think it says God is heart, like God is love. Again, I'm not really into the whole, you know, God stuff, but you know, so what? Other people are. That's great. Their creativity is the first ingredient in easy vegan meals made with go-tos such as hefty sprinkle of garlic powder or hearty mushrooms. I thought it said something about her Emmys in here. The collection includes vegan sausages and mushroom, jalapeno and cilantro, mango and basil flavors, and vegan burger patties and mushroom, garlic, and barbecue varieties. You know what I mean? She's got in the refrigerated aisle right now. You can go get some Tabitha Brown love in a box. That's pretty good. Bringing people together over food makes my heart full. She talks like Scarlett O'Hara in... And I feel blessed to continue spreading nourishment to Target's guests. All right. So, yeah, I mean, cilantro, caramelized onion, and the popcorn, mixed nuts and popcorn, 3 wellness-focused teas. I mean, she's great. Look, I mean, she's spreading positive body image. I mean, how do you hate Tabitha Brown? You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. It's expected to launch sometime later this year with the 4th collection. That's the 4th and final. I doubt it will be the 4th and final. It'll probably be the 4th and many more. But this month for Veganuary, we have a new Tabitha Brown thing. So 2 Emmys. There it is, right in the end. The superstar was nominated for 2 Emmys. So she didn't win them. She nominated for 2 Emmys for her YouTube original series, Tab Time. Her vegan hair care brand, Donna's Recipe, launched at Ulta stores, and both of Brown's books, Feeding the Soul and Cooking from the Spirit, became New York Times bestsellers. You know, I love Tabitha Brown. This is what I mean. Like, we always, in veganism, in the vegan world, we're always, like, criticizing each other's activism and always just like tearing each other down. And just because something doesn't speak to you doesn't mean it's not awesome. We should celebrate our heroes, celebrate these icons. I mean, look, how do you not like that? How do you not like that face? Look how wonderful she is. Thoughtful and brilliant, it says. I love it. Tab O. Of course she goes by Tab. Tab. I like that, Tab. People with 3 letters in their name, Sky. I think it's good. Anyway, that's my rant for the day is about Tabitha Brown. And we are just about ready to bring on our first guest, our only guest. I don't want to say first guest, our only guest. But before we do, let's say hello, guys. EDA Activism, welcome back, Kane. You are the first indeed. The first. You're always the first. Kane is just not one for mediocrity. Have you guys seen Kane's Omegle activism thing? It's amazing. It's so good. The Real Thing, morning and afternoon. Welcome back, Real Thing. Jonesy LaFay, welcome back all the way from Colorado Springs. We'll probably which... the famous puppeteer. Guys, don't forget to sign his petition for getting feathers out of the puppeteer business. It's a big bird is covered in blood. So please, guys, sign the petition. Let's hope they're all the way from Tucson, Arizona. We have Mark Saunders, ethically based ex-omnivore. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a Patreon subscriber. Jalil Haya Tamahomed Hayatmad from Dubai. I can't read it as quickly. I'm always going too fast. I just take my time. Shalil Hayat Muhammad. See, if I take my time, I do a lot better. Sorry, I'm going too fast. That one surprised me. I'm terribly sorry, honestly. Jonesy LaFay, Dubai, well, welcome. Yes, thank you guys. Joanna 6669, thank you for being our motivator and moderator. And for anyone I'm missing on TikTok, Twitter, or Twitch, thank you so much for joining. And if you'd like to be part of the chat, please hop on over to YouTube and subscribe and jump in the chat. Be part of this. Awesome. Our guest is named Farah Amber. She is an amazing content creator. She does a podcast called The Cool Kids Are Vegan. The Vegans Are Cool. The Cool Kids Are Vegan. I've only listened to the first episode. I loved it. She does really cool work and sharing lots of other vegan activists on her pages and spreading the word. And I just think she's got a really cool vibe. I'm going to let her do her own introduction, but that's how I came across her. I came across her on YouTube, and she's got a podcast going. And how do I not love someone who's doing all that work out there, you know, for the animals and for everybody else? You know, you got to love people out there trying to save the world, right? I think so. Oh, she just disappeared. She was in the green room, just disappeared. There she is. She's back. All right. She's back. Oh, is she back? Is she back? Is she ready to go? Okay, she's back. Cool. Awesome. Here we go. We're going to try this out. Welcome, 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 welcome.
Hello. Am I there? Hello. Yes.
You're here.
Hi. Let me just check. Hi. Is my audio working?
Your audio works great. Yes.
Okay, amazing. Hi, nice to meet you officially now.
Nice to officially meet you too.
Yeah, on video.
Yes, are you in Dubai?
Yeah. That's why I think all the live said from Dubai. Yeah, I am in Dubai right now. So that's why it's already late. It's already 8 p.m.
It's already, yeah. I saw when you RSVP'd, it said Dubai time zone. I was like, that is amazing.
I don't think.
You're our first guest from Dubai for sure. We've had guests from all over the world, but not from Dubai yet. So thank you for being here.
Amazing. Happy to be the
first guest. Awesome. Would you mind
Be here in Rome.
Would you mind, I think my connection is yourself?
So sometimes Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Farah. My Instagram handle is Farah Vegan. And I'm a vegan content creator. I post all types of content about veganism, just trying to promote veganism and just trying to share the message about animals, about what it is that we do to animals in our day-to-day society, inform people about it. I think that's my main purpose right now. It's just to inform people about what it is that we do to animals for non-vegan products. Yeah,
you know, like vegan education, which I've held is, I think, the most important. It's vital to the movement to try to get more vegans equals more vegan world, you know, and it's important. How did you come upon veganism? You're just walking around the street one day and you were like, I think I'm going vegan.
Actually, it's because of my brother. I have an older brother, and he was vegan for 1 year already. So he kind of introduced our whole family as well. Like, he introduced veganism to us. Before that, it was kind of like an unknown concept to me. And when he turned vegan, that really interested me in like eating more plant-based. And then eventually in COVID, like we were living together, we were in quarantine. I was with my brother. We were having vegan food. We were having like all vegan family dinners. So I was actually already accidentally vegan without actually being vegan. And then I had something that was really heavy in dairy, and I got so nauseous because I was already like accidentally vegan. So then my body, you know, kind of responds really heavy to dairy. So then after that dairy dish, I just like, I don't ever want to eat something that, you know, is can make my body react like that. So that's when I turned like towards like a fully plant-based diet, and then decided to go vegan as well. Once I learned so much about, you know, what happens to animals and stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's kind of like my vegan journey short.
Yeah, it's a quick journey. I mean, that was, you know, the quarantine, it had a lot of, usually, I think the story normally goes, people go into quarantine with their brother, the brother's vegan, and then you end up hating each other. But you, getting big arguments every day. But you were like, no, you know what? I love my brother, and I think I'll try this whole vegan thing. Was he the cook? Was he the cook or something? Is that why he was cooking all the food and you were captive?
No, that's pretty funny. But no, we actually we decided to just have vegan dinners because it was like vegan food is good, you know, so why not just have fully vegan family dinners? And I think that's when I really got introduced to it. And yes, I do have my brother to thank for my whole vegan journey.
Well, I don't know what city were you in when it happened? Were you in Dubai when the quarantine happened?
In Dubai.
I don't know what it was like there, but here, every time, so I've lived through a couple natural disasters, nothing as big as the quarantine until now, of course, but a couple natural disasters. Here's what happens. Everyone goes to the supermarket and starts hoarding. They buy all the toilet paper. They buy all the water bottles. They buy all of the meat, all of the milk, all of the bread, right? First things to go. And then the vegans come in. They're like, oh, all the vegan stuff's still here. Okay. All the fruits and vegetables are here. All of the Boca burgers are there. Was that like that there too, where you were able to just, you didn't feel the quarantine as badly or the shortage?
Sorry, the connection kind of lagged, but I think the last thing you said was about supermarket.
Yes.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. Yeah. But I think that's what's so great about Dubai is that we actually have a lot of vegan product in Dubai because we have a lot of import from the UK, and the UK is like a vegan, you know, heaven. So then we have UK supermarkets here. So then we have in the stores, we have vegan magnums. We have so many vegan products here, which is actually really nice. Like it makes being vegan quite nice.
All that vegan junk food you can get
Right. Oh my God, you have no idea. We actually have some really great, shout out to Awesome Vegan. They're amazing, a vegan fast food joint. So yeah.
I saw you tagged them. I saw one of your, a review of them or something on your
I did. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They have some in the mall. They have two, which is really cool. And when I visited it, they're actually telling me that there's one called Vegan Burger in the mall. And the manager of that told me that a lot of the people that eat there, they work in the mall and they want a quick meal that because it's all fast food, right? It's a food court, so it's all fast food. And then they decide to have the vegan burger versus a different burger because then they can not feel heavy and they can just go back to work, right? And I thought this was such amazing feedback that people who aren't even vegan are choosing to have the vegan fast food because it makes them feel lighter in their body and they can go right back to work versus being super heavy and then not having energy and stuff.
Feeling really all gross news. Yeah, I think so too. You know, I've been saying it, a lot of people, they're treating it like an ethnic restaurant now where on Monday they had Chinese food, on Tuesday they had Italian, on Wednesday they had Indian food, and on Thursday let's go to the vegan restaurant and have vegan food, you know. And it's becoming a part of the family's cycle, kind of.
Interesting. That is positive and good, you know, direction.
Yeah, it's good for the plant-based world and hopefully lowering the amount of demand on animal agriculture. And I'm feeling really positive because of Tabitha Brown today, and it's not really my tactic. All the cages need to be empty. We need to have, dismantle the systems of oppression. But when I see things, people making positive steps, I try not to judge them too much, harshly, you know?
Yeah. Even I was thinking, so I think I saw a plant-based news as well that some vegan, what was it? I think McDonald's has now a vegan burger, and there's a lot of comments that are still hating on McDonald's, but in general, it is a positive step that they are making plant-based burgers. Cause then eventually, hopefully, you know, it will lead to something where they never have to go into meat production at all, you know?
Hopefully. Yeah, I mean, I don't see a vegan world with McDonald's in it, but I do think about true. the 13-year-old who's on a road trip with her parents, and she's trying to go vegan, and the whole family's like, "We're going to McDonald's. That's where we're going." And then the kid can at least now get something, whereas before the kid couldn't even get fries, you know, and so. That's what I start thinking. It's then when you're in a jam, you have a life raft. Because I think we've all been there, right? We're stranded. I've been on road trips where I'm stranded in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to eat. And I'm just
How long have you been vegan?
Since 2005. So we're coming up on 18 years.
Wow. That is so impressive. I've been now too, obviously, since COVID. But wow. That's
amazing. There's people longer than me. I mean, Ronnie Lee, 50 years. John Cross 80 years. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, 2005, I felt like lots has changed since then, but gives you some perspective, wow. I guess, you know, I'm more inspired by the new vegans, by the ones who just are doing it.
Yeah, no, but that's amazing because if for so like vegan for so many years, like the thing is, I think like pre-vegan is like a different world, right? Pre-vegan, I didn't know about what happens to animals, and now like I know what happens to animals, so I can't imagine for 15 years knowing what happens to animals and then like trying to get more people to realize this is what happens to animals. Like, yeah, it's definitely a journey.
Well, I definitely went through phases though too. Like pre-vegan, you did something that a lot of people don't do and that I didn't frankly do. Like I went vegan, I didn't necessarily, well, the social media wasn't really a thing yet. Like we had Twitter came out in 2007, you know, like I went vegan in 2005. So, but you went straight into activism. You started doing something, which is, you know, I had conversations with friends and stuff, but like you went all out. So how did you think about why did you do that? Like why, you know, a lot of people go vegan, they don't start vegan Facebook pages or whatever.
I mean, basically what happened is that I just felt so passionate about spreading the word, where it was like, you know, I did event, like when I first started, I wanted to be a quiet vegan because I felt that otherwise I would, you know, like annoy people with veganism because people don't like to be confronted with veganism. So I wanted to be that quiet vegan. And then I was like, no, like I'm too passionate about it and I want to share this message and I want people to know, especially because I didn't know it before. And I wish someone would have told me and shown me footage that I've seen now, you know? So like, I want to be that person now and I want to, you know, spread awareness. And yeah, I just became so passionate about it. And I was always into content creation, but then I was like, this is only the thing I want to make content on now. I just want to, you know, spread messages about the animals and hopefully help them.
I love that because like, I've always felt like an activist and I think I've done a lot of activism, but my social media stuff,
you definitely
kind of
are.
New, like, okay, yeah, but it's new. Like the online stuff is pretty new. I've done a lot of like behind the scenes stuff and you know, like lighter forms like pamphlets and getting vegan stuff. I've been instrumental in getting vegan food on menus back when that was a problem. So it's different, but I never felt like the quiet vegan. But I feel like now people going vegan like yourself have this huge opportunity. Because like I wrote it down because it's like, I wish I'd known, right? You hear that all the time. I wish I'd known. And God damn it, if people stumble across your pages, they can't say they didn't know.
Hopefully they watch it. But yeah.
Well, they do. I think if more vegans are making more noise, they can't ignore it. And
true. That's true.
And now
true.
Activism is easy. It used to be you had to go out and like hand out shit, hand out papers. You don't have to do that. You need to share a video, share a retweet.
But how was that experience of me like having that those non-vegans kind of debate in real life, you know, not on the internet? Like,
my experience wasn't as bad as like what you see now. Like people generally would be able, you know, why can't you just live the same stuff that you hear today? The B12 argument was still big back then, but like I'm a big guy. And so especially once I was vegan like 6 years and I owned a vegan restaurant, no one gave me shit. People were like, oh, okay, well, this 6'5" man that's like I don't know, never had what's the argument after that, right?
No, well, that's okay true. That's it. That's so funny you said that because I was talking to someone else who basically had a gallbladder issue and the doctors told him to like get surgery and stuff. And instead his friend recommended him to go plant-based, to own a plant-based diet. And then he like cured himself basically through the diet. And even the doctors were like, how did you do it? You know, we didn't do surgery, nothing, but it changed. And then he tells me that he has like arguments with people who are like he's in fitness, he's an athlete. So then these other fitness people are telling him like, how do you get enough protein? Then how do you do it? And he's like, I'm the living example of like, look at me, like I have muscle and like, he's like, I'm the example. I've done it. So you can see that it's possible to be done. Yeah. So even the question of how to do it is like, well, it's being done, you know? So
yeah, it's being done. Like, yeah. I used to get people go, well, I'll be malnourished. I'm like, do I look malnourished to you? How dare you? And I would like, I pretend to be offended. I'm like, how dare you? Do I look malnourished?
That's funny.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. I look like? You're like, no, not you. But I read a thing one day that, oh,
yeah,
I'm doing fine. Well, what supplements do you take? Zero. I take zero supplements. Well, I do now.
Yeah.
When
B12,
I turned 40,
I guess.
Yeah, when I turned 40, I started taking B12, and like I have a B12D vitamin, but
nice.
I take it once a week.
But even like, what's wrong with supplements? You know, like I watched one time on YouTube, there was an vegan argument. And then I think it was Joey Carbstrong, and he was talking about supplements, and the girl was like, I don't want to take supplements. And it's kind of like, why are you so against supplements? You could just, they're just vitamins. Like, just take them.
You're probably already taking supplements. I used to do this proofreading of court documents, because my mother was a court reporter, and she, during college, that was like a way I could pick up extra cash, is do proofreading. And
nice.
And in the beginning of every, what's something that's funny, so it's these depositions where the lawyers are interviewing people for lawsuits, right? And the beginning, they always ask a few of the same questions. You see them in TV where they're like, oh, do you swear to tell the truth and all that shit? You see all that. But the thing that they don't show on TV is that they always ask you, have you had any alcohol in the last 24 hours? And what drugs have you taken? They always ask those two questions to see, you know, whether or not you're compromised to answer the questions truthfully. Everybody says yes to almost always both questions. And it's like,
really?
Yeah, it opened my eyes. I'm like, everyone's walking around drunk and on so many drugs, because they're always like, I take Zambaban and Zambapan and Palapal and Xanax and like.
Yeah.
And you're telling me with all those drugs people are taking, they can't take a B12 supplement?
But it's so true. It's like this misconception that if that vegan is not healthy versus like all that junk food or whatever, all that unhealthy stuff that people eat, just because it's like, if it's vegan or not vegan, like the diet that they eat is not per se healthy if it's vegan or not vegan. And I mean, the same could be said for vegan food. You have to obviously just like have a balanced thing, but it's so annoying.
Like, you have to think about it. Yeah. To use the old.
Yeah. But it's annoying that that's the argument, you know? Like, I once posted, I wanted to help people about my, I posted like what a vegan fridge looks like what's in my fridge that's vegan. And obviously I had like vegan cheeses and all that stuff. And all the comments were all hate comments, but I was like, you know what? Like, it's content, like it's views, even if it's hate comments, it's good. There were people like, oh, it's so processed. How are you eating that coconut oil cheese? Like, it's so processed. And they're just hating on these replacers. And it's like, it's annoying that that gets the bad rep, you know, like, whereas, you know, we eat, obviously, like, I eat my veggies, I eat my fruits, and then we get a bad rep because we eat vegan cheese or vegan versions of things that, you know,
Totally. Yeah, like, I cook, I like Tofutti's vegan sour cream. It's like, I feel like there's a few things they got right, like, right away, like, 20 years ago, like, vegan mayonnaise, better than regular mayonnaise.
Vegan mayo, even I was thinking, I was going to mention that.
Better than the regular. It's been like, I never liked mayonnaise. I went vegan. I'm like, God damn, I'm going to eat this shit with a spoon. I don't like, no.
I love it. But it's true. Vegan mayo, and like, I don't remember what normal mayo tastes like, but vegan mayo just tastes so good. Like, I don't think there's any difference. And it's
vegan
just
sour cream, I think it's like, I cook with a lot of vegan sour, not a lot, like once a week I cook with a little of vegan sour cream.
No, it's good. Yeah. So you need those replacers for like a fully... Because people like don't realize that if we go, sometimes people go vegan and they cut out like all dairy and they cut out like everything, but they don't replace it with something. Like, they cut out their scrambled eggs, but they don't realize to have scrambled tofu for breakfast instead, you know? And they just like, need to have like the vegan versions of their usual non-vegan breakfast.
So what kind of arguments do you get when you're doing your activism, you're online doing your content? You get a lot of trolls like everybody else, but
You know, surprisingly though, like, I feel like I have a lot of positive vegans as well, which is really nice and surprising. I thought it would get a lot of like backlash, but what's so nice is that like I'm creating this vegan community online, and they're all so positive, and they all understand like the animal message, and they share it on their profile. So like, that is all really nice to see, that there's so many people who care about animals, because I think sometimes when you're vegan, you can feel kind of alienated that if your surroundings aren't like everyone's vegan, then not everyone like understands what happens to animals. And then to connect to that vegan community online is really nice. But I've definitely just like had some really weird arguments and I just don't even know how to handle it. So, like lions eat me too. Oh, all that stuff.
Lions eat meat. Yeah. lions lick their own assholes too. I'm not doing that. Lions do a lot of shit I ain't doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny.
They do all sorts of stuff that I'm not into.
Yeah.
Lions eat raw animals too. When I hear the lion argument, I'm like, okay, I tell you what. Go to a cow naked. You have to take off all your clothes, go to a cow and rip it apart with just your hands and your teeth.
Yeah.
Just your hands and your teeth. That's all you get. No knives, no guns. Then you can be a lion.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. It's just, I wish they got that opportunity, you know, to like, I feel like most people, I feel like most people wouldn't be able to do it. Like I sometimes also like, I feel like people, if they were presented in a situation where they had to kill an animal themselves, like, they can't do it. And I just wish more people realize that the reason they eat that meat is just because it's available in the supermarket and they don't actually make that connection between the killing and the product. And I think that's my main message. I'm just trying to get people to like make that connection, you know?
Fair, they've never seen a cow in real life. People have not ever seen a real cow. They've never seen a real cow.
That's true. Yeah, I recommend people to go to sanctuaries. I visited one sanctuary, best day of my life, probably.
Yeah. Is that how you got into the whole animal thing? Because you were in quarantine with your brother. Was your brother talking about animal rights and animal liberation? Or was he just like, oh, yes, this vegan ice cream tastes like other ice cream? Or what was the,
the conversation like? He tried, but I think I was quite the non-vegan where I didn't like, think it was really like that. Like I remember we had still eggs in our fridge and he was kind of like, oh, baby chicks are dying because you eat eggs. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Like I was just kind of dismissing it as if it's not even really true. I don't know, maybe that's just like the cognitive dissonance, I guess, in me. Well, and it's so funny to realize that of myself, you know, back then, that I was kind of just dismissing it as like, that's not true, like I can just eat eggs, it's fine and no one has to die. But then he did like try those little things. But I think it really took me like going into like finding it out myself that I felt like once you find out, you just can't unknow it and you can't go back. And like, I'm not like, I don't stay vegan because it's like a trend or because it's cool or whatever. I just stay vegan because I know that those products harm animals and I don't want to contribute to it. And like that knowledge of like, making that connection of like, if I do this, if I buy that product, it means someone had to die or some animal had to suffer. And I just want, I hope more and more people like make that connection, because I feel like that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you make a value-based decision, you don't go back. It's the health, when you're just doing it for health, or like, that's the thing when we talked about earlier, like the person doing it once a week, who knows what they're like the rest of the week and all the rest. But if they start, you know, you're hoping that if people keep talking about it, just like you were in a situation where you just kept talking about it and you're like, oh shit, this shit's starting to sink in. Like what made it click though? Like when you were like, oh shit, I'm vegan. Like what was
honestly,
there, was there...
yeah. You know, I don't even really know. I just know that definitely I went like, I cut out dairy for sure after that dish. So that in that sense, I went fully plant-based after that moment. Mm. But I don't know what it was that made me turn vegan, in the sense that I've learned so much where it's like I'm vegan. Like, for example, I've also like, I think it takes more time to implement it in other areas versus food. Like, so now, for example, I don't buy anything leather, silk, wool. Like I've learned about all of that, which is like so sad now that I'm online shopping and I see so much leather and I'm just like, how is this so normalized for us to wear leather? Like that's animal skin. Like,
I know.
How is this normal?
It's what's even weirder. Like in other languages, I don't know, like in Spanish, they call it skin. They call leather skin.
Really?
It's the same word. And I'm going, how is this? At least in English, we call it something else. We don't use the same. We change the word to try to fool you. But
no, I know. But actually, in designer, I was was looking at designer bags, and they actually classify which type of animal. Like, I know Chanel has calf skin and lambskin, and like those are two types of like
Yeah, ostrich skin, and there's all the different the exotic animals, and like the Birkin bags. The more exotic, the more desirable.
Yeah, exactly. That's the saddest part for me. I feel like those brands are so like they can make so much of a difference if they, you know, created vegan leather, and that would be so impactful for so many people.
It's sad because it should be a luxury, the luxury items first. For throughout history, it was usually the aristocracy who did something they set the trend, right? And then the lawyer's wife would buy the same dress as the queen, and then the queen would have to be like, oh, I'm doing something different because I want to be differentiated from the lawyer's wife. As that kept, it's different now. Trends are very different because we have like multi-trends and stuff, but a lot of it still comes from the elite, and you still see the elites doing the same old fashioned bullshit. Kanye West trying to sell fur. His ex-wife, Kim Kardashian, is now a Beyond Meat person, but how many times has she worn fur or shown us her leather bags? Or
no, it's true. I mean, I was excited about her turning, well, plant-based, I'd say, but then, like she posted once that she was like eating In-N-Out, and then all the people were commenting, oh, aren't you vegan? And then they're like, she's gone back to not being vegan or something. I don't know. She did advocate it because of her skin.
I'm 98% vegan. I'm 98% vegan. I've been annoyed by that for like now 2 years or something. I'm 98% vegan.
Has she actually said that?
Yeah, she said she's 98% vegan, and she's been so good lately. That's why she's eating chicken wings.
See, that's what I'm saying. Those people haven't made the connection, because it's like once you've actually understood, then you just, you can't, you know, do things like that.
Well, it's sad because they're so far out of touch. This is the same woman who said, what the problem is, people need to get up and just work. They just need to get up off their ass and work. They need to get up off their ass and be born rich, Kim. That's what they need to do.
I know. No, you're right. She has so much influence. Like, it's if they can, like, be the living example. And I think that's what I want to be with my Instagram. Just like, I want to be the example for people to see, like, oh, this is how you can live vegan, how you can eat in places. Like, I just want to share that and maybe inspire people. And
I love that. Lead by example and try to let, you know, exactly. Show people how to... You know
exactly how to be kind to animals.
So in Dubai, I've never been to Dubai. I've only seen, you know, I saw that one Fast and Furious movie with Dubai.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say you watched Dubai Bling on Netflix, because then that's a different.
No,
show.
I've never seen. I know that there's a show about there's the opulence of the city is often the thing that people focus on. You know, people always do that though. When you look at movies about New York, it's always like. And lifestyles of the rich and famous, the golden buildings and shit. It's like most of us are not living like that.
Where are you based? You're in California. Okay. Yeah.
I'm in Southern California, where, again, people will focus on the beautiful beaches we have, or, you know, Los Angeles. But like,
you
go to Los Angeles.
A lot of veganism, right? Yeah, you have a lot of vegan in California, or vegans even?
We have a lot of vegans, I guess. I think we have a lot of plant-based people because people care about their appearance here. I think that's a main thing.
What do you mean they care about the appearance? Like they go plant-based to lose weight, or what do you mean?
Yeah,
appearance?
Yeah, to look skinny and like there's a South Beach diet, you know, that's about Miami South Beach diet to get into your bikini. If they did a SoCal diet, I think it would be like, because the Southern California food is like fish, Asian style with local ingredients. Like our culture here is very local ingredients, local produce.
Fair.
But
I still feel like the stereotype of Cali is like the vegan, like hipster or something, isn't that? Or like in movies, I say.
we're all hippies character. We're all hanging out at the pool. Like, we're all in California.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's cool here, guys. Just stay cool. There's some of that. You know, we have yoga. You had a yoga master on a famous yogi on your show, didn't you?
I did. That was so funny. I randomly met her at a salon, and then we just started talking about how she has her own yoga studio in Thailand. And it's all vegan. Like, she gets people there from all over the world for 3 months who are doing this course, and she feeds them like plant-based food and helps them as well after that. And she's turned, like, she said that 500 of her students are now vegan. And then I was like, that's amazing. Like, it's in Thailand, in Chiang Mai. Like, it's a beautiful location. Yoga and veganism combined, like, just about compassion.
They seem to go hand in hand, don't they? Like, most of those yoga retreat areas, they usually are vegan. They usually have plant-based foods. Yeah,
I feel the same. I mean, so my mom's as well. She's vegan and she's a yoga teacher. And then I agree. Like, I feel like yoga and veganism go hand in hand. And then she told me about this other yoga teacher as well, who's like the opposite of vegan. And her stories were actually crazy. She actually like slaughtered a pig on her story to be like, this is life and life is normal. And fed him so much love, and now we will eat him with love and all this really weird stuff. She was trying to be very like yoga-y and talk about life circles, and I don't know what they're talking about, but I was like, at the end, like, she's brainwashed. Swear.
That is weird, because like the first time I heard about veganism, there's a Hare Krishna temple in Laguna Beach, and when I was in high school, you could go there and eat for free, and they will talk about Hare Krishna and you just reminded me of it, because it's all about like you cook with love, and then you eat the love, and then you grow the vegetables with love, but it was vegan.
But it's vegetarian. It was vegan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's vegan.
No, because I'm thinking Hinduism is like vegetarian mostly, I think, yeah. But then they include dairy, so yeah, that's the issue. Yeah,
a lot of milk. That's why India is like the second or third biggest beef exporter, and people are like,
but that's the biggest controversy.
Yeah,
but that's the biggest thing. It's I learned about the same. So I as well spent time in India, and I'm learning the same, that like, yes, they don't eat beef, but they're still the biggest beef and leather exporter. So they just export it. But
number two in leather, number three, I think, in beef or four in beef. They're way up there. Yeah,
I know.
And what's worse is that it's illegal in some provinces. So they'll grow the cows in certain provinces, and then when they're spent,
transport them.
Yeah, they'll transport them in order to kill them long distance.
So it's even worse, you know, because then the fact that it's like, you would think a ban on beef in a specific state sounds good, but it's actually worse, because it means they have to transport them and make these cows go through so much more suffering.
Yeah, it's interesting what will happen. So in California, we just banned, we voted to ban factory farmed animals. And so...
Wow.
And the big part of it is we also voted to ban the import of factory farmed animals. So that's a big deal. So like, you can ban it in your state. That's okay. We'll buy it from Arizona or whatever. So, but we ban also the import. So now it's going to go to the Supreme Court to see if that's legal, because the federal government is who regulates interstate commerce. So we're going to find out whether or not this is possible, but you know, stay tuned. We're not sure yet, but that's a huge deal, right? Like,
that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of vegans in Cali, because they made this
animal lovers in Cali.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean they're vegans.
No,
everyone's got a fucking dog. Everybody here has a dog in their house.
I know. Everybody. Sometimes I find that really sad, that the most animal loving people who have like dogs and cats are the ones that still eat meat. And it's like, please see the pig the same way you see your dog, because they're literally the same. So I get what you mean. But the factory thing, that's amazing.
Well, you know, it's a step. And the big part is, like, in California, you know that we have drought, which I think is something that must affect Dubai, since it's in the desert, right? A lot of California is the desert as well, but we transport a lot of water to grow alfalfa in the desert in order to feed cows. So one of the thirstiest crops, humans aren't eating all that alfalfa. It's used to feed animals. But so 40% of our water is going to the animal agriculture, almost 50%, they say. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a problem because every day you hear about the drought, and yet.
So is that one of the arguments that they're kind of pushing for the factory to say, look, this is really bad for the environment? I mean, whatever argument helps.
Yeah, that's one of the things that California is like one of them is the agricultural powerhouse of the United States. And
wow,
we're going to lose a lot of money if we keep on growing animals. That's kind of
I did not know that. Yeah.
It's weird, right? Yeah.
No. But it actually is crazy. The environmental aspect is actually, you know, what's so funny is that veganism, it's like, it should be for everyone because we are, you know, destroying our planet with non-vegan foods. And like, we should all realize that whatever choice we make, it impacts the world, which impacts us. So ultimately, it's not even like people think that they're not impacted. People think they can just continue to eat meat, dairy, and eggs and they won't be impacted. But in the, like, the long run, we're all going to be impacted because of climate change, because of even your health, like, consuming it impacts you, your health. So there's so many aspects to it that it's like people have started to like wake up and realize that this is not just us fighting for the animals. Like, yes, obviously animals first priority, but you know, it's also us. We are also impacted.
Yeah. I will say like Moby will say this too. And so will Earthling Ed. They'll say like, well, animals are the most obvious, like the most obvious is that we're killing almost 80 billion animals, land animals a year, about a trillion fish. Like, that's just the most obvious. Like, stop eating it. Like, I've been saying this for so long because people will talk about fucking palm oil or all of these other like. And not to say that that's not important. Like, okay, how palm oil and coconut oil are harvested? That's important, but it's still like step one: stop slitting the throats of animals. Right? Like, that's just.
I know.
Just do step one for me. Let's not worry about all the rest yet. Just.
It's so true. Sorry, the internet lagged. No, I know. It's like, how can people not? Right. But that's the connection thing, I feel. I feel they're just disconnected from the actual slaughter, you know? So I feel like that's why they feel that they can continue or something. That's why I think, continue.
Well, where you are, you have a lot more of like the, I'm guessing more like halal style foods and things like that. No?
Okay. Yeah. So, I'll tell you a funny,
Yeah, go ahead. No, I want
to
hear it.
No, just something really small about that part. Cause I went to the bike candy and then it all had beef gelatin and it had like a sign that says, oh, not pork gelatin, but then it has, or not pig from pigs. And then it's like, okay, it's halal. But it's not vegan. It has beef gelatin. So that's like a funny difference in that they sell then gelatin from beef, not from pork, all that stuff.
Oh, so like, yeah, because you'll see that here it's fish gelatin. It'll call it out, not pig gelatin. It's fish gelatin because to make it kosher and halal.
Exactly. Right? But that's so still like, just so sad.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Think about that. Like, and you know, the only reason I really know about it is because marshmallows. Around every time year, every like holiday and stuff, people make a lot of marshmallow stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says it big on the bag, like not pig, fish gelatin, or 100% fish gelatin or something. It's
like advertising it 100%. Oh, amazing.
Yeah, like that's a selling point. I think because they don't know what gelatin is. Like if they saw how gelatin's made.
But that's so weird. Like, I feel like once you're vegan, you find out about so many weird things that we put animal, like, so that we put animal products in these things. And it's like, why? Why is there gelatin in candy? And why, like, are there bones in? I don't know. Like, there's so much that blows my mind that only now that I'm vegan, I really realize it. Where before, you know, I didn't. Leather was just leather. It's not cow skin. Whereas now,
right? You're not calling it cow skin, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Or no, not even that. It's like, oh, it's just shoes.
Right.
Like you don't even realize the leather part. It's just shoes. It's just a belt.
Yeah, exactly. Not What's realizing it where it came from. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I feel like it's so important to get informed and watch documentaries and see how does it get from A to B and like just see the animal being used for their product and like, you know?
Yeah. You think that it's people crazy. Would like to, when I was a kid, we watched like Mr. Rogers where they would show like how a saxophone is made, you know, and then they would show like, here's how the metal is taken out of the earth. And then it's all, now it's a saxophone. And they show you like how it's this thing.
The process. Yeah.
I don't think kids watch that shit anymore. They don't. I don't think they show that on Peppa Pig. I don't know what they're. I haven't seen a kids show in a long time. But when I was a kid, that's the type of shit we watch. It's how stuff was made and where things come from. Okay, it's they weren't so showing important. Me slaughtering animals.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I wish we would start informing even like, I feel like in the future, what I would love to do is, as I saw Earthling Ed do it, he gives talks in schools, and I would love to give a talk to like kids and just tell them, and obviously in a good, like, don't scare them with scary footage that even I wouldn't want to see, but just tell them where it all comes from, and that we can love a pig the same way we love a dog, and just like help make that connection from early age, you know?
Well, I think honesty with children is the first thing. People tend to protect kids from the wrong thing. Like, we're always, like, crime is down, and yet people are afraid to let their kids go to the park because they're afraid of kidnapping and all the rest. But they'll protect them from that, but they won't protect them from, like, the chocolate cake and the bacon and the hot dogs, the stuff that's actually going to kill them. Like, by and large, the thing that's going to kill them is the chocolate cake, not crack cocaine and not a child predator. Like, those are rare things that are very scary. Yeah. Like, it's scary to think about your child on crack cocaine or getting abducted, but really, the great majority of kids will die from chocolate cake, bacon, that type of shit, hot dogs. You know, but I think that all the time about just like your averages, what's going to kill you. But away from health, like what is it like being vegan? And I know you said that like there's UK foods and stuff like that, but do you get that religious argument, or what kind of vibe is in Dubai? I kind of like, I'm curious about like, what is, if you were to say like, what is it like being vegan in Dubai? Because have you lived in other countries? Your English is so perfect. It makes me think that you're a woman of the world.
Thank you. I have. I'm originally from Amsterdam, and then I spent some time as well in India for 2 years as well, so that I can talk about that as well, and then Dubai now as well. But thank you about the color for my English. But the culture aspect.
If you're raised in Amsterdam, I spent a lot of time in Amsterdam, and everyone speaks English there. Now that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we do. Yeah. We speak good English. Thank you. But definitely I'd say India is the hardest. India is definitely on. Yeah, because it's the dairy aspect, which the thing is with in India, they do relate it to religion. And that's why when you said about the Hare Krishna temple, the thing is that there's this one god who had milk from a cow. And that's why it's the religious argument that he had it, so we can have it. And that's like the hard part with but then you kind
it's
of
like
have to
Jesus
think okay
and the
you,
fish.
Tell me about that. What happens with Jesus and the fish?
There's a lot of fish stuff in Jesus. The symbol of Jesus is a fish, and so some people think it's a mis translation. I don't. Yeah. I think that it's just fish seemed even more like fish to a lot of people seem very distant from animals. They still today. I don't.
Yeah,
think that
I know.
I don't think that's changed in the last 2,000 years.
That's funny. I'm reading a book called They didn't know what?
Well, they didn't know what a fucking germ was. You're talking about ignorant people that didn't know anything. Like, you're lucky we even have writings from back then. Like, we, like, there were huge illiteracy rates. They knew nothing. Like, they knew so little. And yet we're like, oh, they were so wise. They weren't that wise. So the fact that they thought fish were like swimming vegetables.
That's funny. No, but it's true, the religious argument. So Earthling Ed is like my role model, and I have his ebook, which is all non-vegan arguments or how to handle them, and he says as well that the religious one, when people say, oh, God put the creatures on earth for us to eat, he says that's one of the hardest that he handles when he has those arguments, debates. And I thought that was interesting. I mean, he kind of, his answer to that, if people say, oh, God created these creatures for us to eat, he says that, like, to ask yourself the question, like, would an all-loving God, like, want us to do what we do to animals today? Would an all-loving God want us to do that? And he kind of, the last thing, I remember the line, it said, if Jesus and the devil were both in a room together with a lamb, who do you think would kill a lamb, right? Yeah. And that's just, it's a really good argument, to be honest about.
I like that too, especially since Jesus is called the Lamb of God. So it's not really and he was born in the same place lambs are born. Like Jesus is oftentimes like in the book, compared to animals over and over and over. He's born where animals are born. That's
wow.
And then he's sacrificed as the last animal sacrificed. Like he's the whole thing is about is animal allegory. So, but the fish thing, they latch on to the fish thing every time.
Yeah, but what I want to say about fish, so I'm trying to read a book now called What a Fish Knows, and it's I forgot the author, but it's basically he did a whole study on fish because he's trying to show their intelligence, because most often we, you know, we see fish as so different from us, and we kind of think that because they're just in such a different environment and fishing is so normalized, where he says in one chapter he talks about how even like the DreamWorks or one of the
DreamWorks, where they've got the fisher, the kid. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So in the sense it's so normalized for us, like to just take a fish out of their environment, it's just a normal thing. Like it's not, we're not killing a fish by doing that. We're just fishing, which is a societal thing to do. So like he really talks about how fishes do have their own intelligence and how they show their intelligence. So it's really interesting because I feel like fish is the last thing. Like people often turn pescatarian, like they stop eating meat and they eat fish because it's still quite okay. Like morally, they still feel okay. Mm-hmm. But in a way, like a fish is living, breathing. We kill it. There's blood. Like, you know, we suffocate it when we fish and we take it out of the ocean. And then there's a whole environmental aspect as well, where we're killing and depleting the oceans, which is depleting life, which ultimately will deplete our life on Earth. So like when it comes to fishing, like even though people think morally, like they still see that as okay because they're so separated from it. It's like the opposite. Like we should stop eating sushi like right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, fish was the first animal that I stopped eating, and it was because of. Yeah, but I lived near the ocean, and you sometimes see like, first of all, the harbor. It's like I want to eat out of that. Like you see the ocean; it's so clean and beautiful. But then you go to the harbor where all the oil is, and you see the sea lions like swimming in that. You're going. And then every time trash does wash up, guess what it is? It's a fishing net. Every single, we don't get a lot down here in Southern California of the Pacific Gyre, but like it's always fishing net, huge fishing nets that are, wash up on shore. And I'm like,
crazy.
At 15 years old, I went, I can't eat fish. This is like, it's clearly destroying the ocean.
But it's true that people, you know, the turtles with the straws, plastic straws, because of the impacts of turtles, and it's like fishing impacts the fishes because of the fishing nets. Like it's insane, the fishing nets are causing so much. The plastic straws, you know, it's bad because it's plastic, but at the end of the day, the fishing nets are half of the plastic that's in the ocean is fishing nets.
Half,
you know?
Of the plastic is fishing nets. Yes,
so that's because the
fishing nets are miles wide.
So it's not like to if you care about all plastic,
the turtles that are killed by the nets, like because the nets just keep, they catch a lot of turtles.
Exactly.
And we don't eat them. They just throw them away because they're not tuna or whatever they're actually after. I don't know.
I know. Dolphins. But that's,
Like, when I heard like tuna, like dolphins, dolphin free tuna, and I'm going, what do you mean? Like, you guys are out there killing dolphins? Like, what do you mean you're out there killing dolphins? What?
But even that is not really true, right? People still, I think I watched one type of, I don't know, Cowspiracy or something, or Seaspiracy, and then it was about, that the dolphin-free tunas are not actually dolphin-free, but they just get the label.
They get the label because they bought that net one day. It's not even, they don't even use that net. Like, the dolphin, dolphin-free, it's ridiculous. But
the labels,
So in India, you get the religious argument from the people. What about in Amsterdam, actually, if you're from Amsterdam, like it's pretty vegan friendly. Last time I was there, I was vegan.
Yeah, although we're very big on our cheese, because Dutch cheese is like very famous. Like I grew up eating Dutch cheese and I loved it. Yeah. Not gonna lie, but like I grew up with that, so that's a big part of our culture. And I remember we got milk cartons in school, and I didn't want to drink it. Like really? We all had to, and I asked my mom, I was like, "Don't sign me up for the milk cartons, please. Like I don't want have cow's milk." Did you have that in the States, or that was just
when you're a kid, to give you a carton of milk with your lunch?
Exactly. Yeah. Like we had that in school that we had to be signed up for to receive the one milk carton a day. And I never liked it. Actually, to be honest, this is actually interesting. So my grandma and my grandpa are both vegan. They're like 72 now. What? And what's funny is that when I was a kid going to my grandparents' house, like they had soy milk already. They were the first. Like I remember having soy milk at their house and I loved it.
They were vegan when you were a kid?
They were not vegan. They were vegan before me. They were that, yeah. Because my grandpa had prostate cancer, and then they cleared out all types of dairy. So they were basically vegetarian and a little bit of dairy, but definitely soy milk was a big thing that they had. Or just like they made already veggie burgers and all this stuff. They turned vegan after the prostate cancer was discovered. And they just cut out all dairy because it's hormonal and the prostate cancer has to do with hormones. And then he did, he went through the therapy and stuff and then eventually he got cleared of it, but he's like never going back to dairy. Like he's like saying that's so damaging for your health. Like he never thought he'd get prostate cancer. He was a healthy man and he never thought that he would get prostate cancer, but he assumed that all the dairy, you know, caused it. So they're both vegan now for the past like couple of years. Yeah.
I've met so many men throughout my life now that are, oh, I'm vegan too. And I'm like, you're vegan. Oh yeah. My doctor told me to go vegan because of my prostate. And I'm going, what? And it's shocking because here's the thing, when you have prostate cancer, prostate problems, that means that your penis doesn't work properly. And here's the thing. If someone told you that, hey, switch to soy milk or your dick won't work, I think that would be a normal thing. Like, okay, sure, I'll make the switch. But they don't until it's like a problem. No, now you have a cancer. Can you switch to soy milk? Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll switch to soy milk right now. Only when it's a problem, right?
I know. That's the crazy part. I know. It's true. Like we should be trying to prevent these diseases, not like trying to just cure them,
With women, it's breast cancer. Like, if someone told me, okay, well, you won't get lumps on your breasts if you just switch to soy milk, like, it seems like a simple thing.
I know, but I feel like most people don't realize that they don't see dairy as scary. Like they just think dairy is normal. It's in, you know, cheese is nice. People find it the hardest to say, oh, I could be vegan, but cheese, you know, for them.
They always say
cheese.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then they just don't realize how damaging cheese is.
That's like saying I could work out. I can be fit, but cigarettes. I just love cigarettes. And I just gotta have my cigarettes, man. And anyone with half a brain would be like, okay, if you like cigarettes, smoke a cigarette once a year, you know, like, it's okay. Smoke a cigarette on Christmas.
But I think,
have a cigar.
Yeah. But that's the issue, is that we understand cigarettes are bad, but we don't yet understand as much as we could that, you know, cheese can and milk causes breast cancer. Like, I don't think people actually realize that still to this day, that it's so dangerous for health. Whereas cigarettes, I think people consciously make the choice that like, okay, I know it's bad, but I'm going to smoke. Or do you think exactly. they people do realize that? What's your opinion?
I don't think they know, because like I think people they don't even think of it as milk, they don't think of it as eggs, they think of it as chocolate cake. And that's
true.
They don't think of it as the process. They don't think, like, if you said, hey, how many eggs did you eat today? They'll be like, I don't eat eggs. I hate eggs. I never eat eggs. Actually, you ate four eggs today. You could tell, like, people on average are eating 3 to 4 eggs a day. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And then, like, how much milk is in everything. When you go vegan, everything. You start seeing milk powder and everything. You're like, holy shit, people are eating a lot of this stuff.
It's true.
In everything.
Yeah.
For us, it's an annoyance. But think about how if you go into my neighbor's fridge, like we were house sitting for them, opened the fridge. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh,
all the
God.
Stuff that they're eating, and they don't think
no
about
way.
It because it's all processed, right? Like,
yeah, that's actually so crazy. Yeah, because even I'm like pre-vegan, I ate a lot of like Greek yogurt and I like mozzarella. I was living in Paris for a while, and in France especially, like Paris
dairy
is also very
cuisine, yeah
yeah very much
Montabure.
Like all there's exactly
Montabure.
The croissants.
Yeah.
All everything, pastries, everything has butter and milk and everything. So I I actually ate when I was in university there. So I had a very heavy non-vegan diet. I feel like we would go clubbing and we'd eat a kebab after, like, that's meat and that's dairy and that's all that really bad stuff that makes you just, if I think about it now, it makes me want to throw up. But I had all of that. And then I, like, you just, it becomes normalized that your body just feels heavy after a dinner like that, that you're just, it's just a big meal or whatever. But then once you turn vegan, you actually realize that you're eating these foods, but you stay light, you know, you don't feel that heaviness that, and I didn't realize it before that my diet was what making me feel heavy, that dairy was so impactful for my body. Cause
it's
I was just
normal, eat a big meal and I'm tired. How
exactly. But while you're vegan, it's, it's like you still feel light. You can still, you, my fitness improved. Like, I'm just such a vegan advocate for all aspects of it, like the health, the animals, environment, like for sure.
Absolutely. I think with the dairy thing, that's what I mean. I think people don't know, they'll even if they know that eggs and dairy are bad for you, they have no clue how much eggs and dairy they're eating because it doesn't even cost their mind.
It's
you
true.
Ask anybody, they're like, I don't drink milk, so I'm basically vegan. And you're like, you eat a lot of it. Like, you eat a ton of milk.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize.
No, it's true. And it's so sad. Imagine that it's that so, like you said, it's in everything. Yeah.
A cigarette, you have to take it. You have to light it. You have to smoke it. You know, like, you have to do it. Milk, you don't have
to. That's
true. Yeah. Well, that's what I think with your vegan activism, with vegan education, that's kind of like, that's part of it, right? Like,
you don't know. And it is kind of sad to see that, you're right, like, it's in everything. If you go to a supermarket, like it's so sad to see actually most of a menu sometimes is just a random restaurant that's so much is animal products, and it's so normalized in society, whereas it should not be this normalized, like this amount of violence, this amount of, you know, like, I think that's the saddest part of turning vegan is realizing how much violence we do in everyday, how many people contribute to it not knowingly.
How much of it's happening right under your nose that you never even knew. That to me is like the most galling of it, how embarrassing it is that this shit was happening right in front of me and I was so ignorant. I was right here. Like that. And every time, I feel like when you're vegan, you start looking at other shit like that. You're like, wait, this was happening the whole time?
Right? It's so true. Yeah. No, it's so true.
And people think, well, I've seen the slaughterhouse footage. I know I don't do that. Okay, well, all the stuff that you're eating does. Like, you know, like, that's why I think vegan education is important. But 100%. We let's see. Lauren, Vegan Yoga Mama, says, I didn't realize how bad it was, how bad I felt until I didn't eat that way anymore. Amazing. Yeah, that's how, you know, you do that.
Yeah, it's true. My health improved. Like, I didn't realize that dairy was the thing that kept my, like, you know, that made me feel bad until I cut out dairy. Yeah, that's why that's why, like, I recommend people to just try it. Just try going without dairy and see how you feel. And I've never actually heard people say that they feel bad. Like, it's most of the time they feel great.
Yeah, I lost a bunch of weight. My asthma went away. My eczema went away. I mean, yeah.
Wow.
I don't
I have so many,
I don't talk about the health stuff as much because people are like, I don't know. I don't know. People always want to, like, go about talking about the health, because I want to talk about the animal rights, animal liberation, and how this is what's right.
It's so overlooked. Yeah.
Yeah. And most people think of themselves as just people. They think, oh, well, I'm not a sexist. I'm not a racist. It's like, well, you kind of are. You're exploiting the reproductive animals of females. You're exploiting the workers who are generally people of a different race who are exploited in order to work these slaughterhouses. Like, you're doing all of those things. You're supporting an industry that touches all the things you say you're against.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I mean, I one time had this girl who I was having lunch with, and she ordered bacon, and I was like, can you not, please? Like, I was like, I've seen the footage. Like, I told her, I was like, I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to show you what pigs go through in a gas chamber. And she's like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And I was like, but why? Why don't you want to see it? Yeah, like, we have to understand that the reason there's bacon in this restaurant is because of what this pig went through in order to, you know, for it to become, for him to become bacon. Like, and I got really frustrated that, like, I don't understand why people don't want to, like, purposely, they're just like, I'm not going to look at this footage. And that's frustrating for me as a vegan advocate, where I feel like that, you know, I hope that that type of footage can change people's minds to be like, oh, now I know what happens to animals. Now I can make better decisions. But it's frustrating when they don't want to, and it's like, I don't know how to handle that then. Or sometimes they say, oh, no, I know. They're like, Farah, I know everything, but I just can't do it right now, or I don't want to. Then they say they know, but then at the same time, I'm like, mm-hmm. no, because if you'd know, you wouldn't do it, you know? So when they say, no, I know, it's like, I don't think you actually know.
I'm to the point where it's like, if you know, then and you're still doing it, if you know and you're still doing it, then I can't be your friend anymore. Sorry.
But I don't think there's people like that. I don't think... People might have a big mouth and say, oh, yes, I'd kill the animal. But like, bring a lamb into this room and you're not going to pick up the knife. Like,
no,
you know,
no, it's always a small percentage. People are like, well, people have been killing animals for 1,000 years or whatever. A very small percentage of people have been doing it the whole time.
Oh, my God. That's smart. I like that. Yeah.
It's always been like.
Yeah, it's only like, what do you mean? Like the slaughterhouse workers, you mean? Like those people?
Or before that, the hunters. It wasn't everyone went out hunting. Like a couple dudes that were like the big strong guys went out and killed animals. Because what are we going to do? What are they going to do at home? They're not picking berries. They're not like, So we had warriors, right? To protect ourselves from other tribes. Well, what do they do in their downtime? When there's no war, what do you do with all your warriors? You send them out to kill animals. You're going to go, you had a small group. Even today, war, most people don't want to kill another person in war. That's why most of our armies are they're using pencils and they're typing on computers. They're doing all the other shit. It's actually a small percentage that are going out and killing people or killing animals. It's not all of us. We're not all doing it.
Yeah. 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 Interesting.
And it's always been that way.
Most
people don't want to do it. They don't want to kill anybody.
I know. And that's the sad part about the actually slaughterhouse workers is that even they don't want to kill. But most of the time, this is their job. And like sometimes they're, you know, undocumented workers who don't have a choice and have to have this job. And like there's actually so many cases of slaughterhouse workers that abuse in the household, like
spouse abuse, suicide, child abuse.
They turn at that because it's so intense, their job, and it becomes so negative, like those constant killing, because they're around these pigs that look at you in the eye and you know
unnatural.
It's so unnatural. It's so unnatural, and that's the thing.
You know, it's fascinating. So one of my favorite things is that, so like the one thing I like to bring up is that slaughterhouse workers and their levels of like spouse abuse and domestic violence and stuff, suicide, the same problems affect jailers, people who work at jails and prisons. They work in these prisons and they go home and they beat their wives and they beat their kids or they kill themselves. They have all these other psychological problems because a prison is an unnatural thing. It's a big cage. A slaughterhouse or these places of oppression, they mess with your brain. Most people can't handle that shit. You talk to people who are like, who work in prisons, they're not happy people. It's like the worst job. In Food Inc., there's a book and there's a decent movie called Food Inc. And it talks about the oppression of the workers in the slaughterhouses, because they usually are undocumented. If they get hurt, because that's the other thing, they get hurt a lot. But if they get hurt, they're undocumented.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. I know. And it's so sad. Like, no one wants that job, but they have to do it because of this big, you know, demand for meat. So we have to have slaughterhouse. We have to have these animals being killed, and it's so sad. Like,
no one wants to chop down the rainforest. It's like some.
This quote that was like, wait, what was I gonna say? I just had it in my head, and then I forgot about
slaughterhouse workers.
Anyway, let's continue.
That's all right. We are coming to a close. At the end, I always ask the same question of everyone. It's kind of a question just for fun. Star Wars or Star Trek?
This is a hard question because I am not a big fan of either.
More of a Harry Potter lady? You like the Harry Potter series?
No, Harry Potter is nice. Okay, Harry Potter option C then? Then I choose Harry Potter.
I don't know. It's always just a pop culture question to see what people are into. Because Star Trek is very vegan. They talk about veganism a lot. But
oh, really? Then I should check it out.
Yeah, it's fun.
I don't think I've watched, like, I don't know if I've watched Star Trek. I know.
It's fun about philosophy and justice and those ideas, okay. But it's all just for fun. It's a pop culture thing. Do you have like a pop culture fandom that you enjoy?
Not Twilight. Really. When I was little. I mean, Taylor Lautner, the werewolf, was my crush. When I was 14. Yeah, I had a big poster of him on my wall. I was little 14. He was shirtless, by the way. Shirtless poster, like door
shirtless.
Size. Yeah, he's always shirtless. That's why I liked him.
I wouldn't recognize him because I've only ever seen him without a shirt.
That's funny. Yeah, I had like a door size thing, so he was like, as if he was alive. Yeah, that was my Twilight fandom, or even a Bieber. I used to be a Belieber, to be honest, as well.
You were Belieber,
Justin Bieber. I wore, yeah, at like, yeah, that age.
Yeah, I think he often posed shirtless as well, didn't he?
Probably. I went to his concert and I had like Belieber on my cheek, like with a heart.
That was really?
Yeah.
That's very cool. Taylor Lautner and Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. Yes.
Taylor Lautner was funny because he was like 14 years old posing in these like, and he looked like one of the guys from 300 or something. He looked like a Greek warrior. And yet,
but he wasn't that young, was he?
Old. I have no idea. I don't know. Okay. Taylor Lautner. Okay. He must have been pretty young though. He couldn't cast.
No,
maybe
I was
18.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he probably was. Yeah, true.
Like pretty young. He's older than me. Yeah, sure. I'm sure he was like 18 when he was in those movies, but he looked like. But he looked like he was 27 and had been working out for like 20 of those years.
That's so true. That is so true.
She seems like a Buffy the Vampire. Are you a Buffy fan? No, you're too young for Buffy. Come on now. No, she doesn't remember Buffy.
Sorry.
Ethically best ex omnivore. He was born in like 81. I think that he's aging himself there. Fast Food Nation shows exploitation of undocumented workers in slaughterhouses.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Because it's talking about fast food. Yeah. I liked Food Inc. a lot. And the movie is a nice kind of
Let me write this down.
Food Inc. has it's a narrative. It's not a documentary. And there aren't that many movies that aren't documentaries. You know what I mean? Like, there aren't that many movies about this that aren't like, look at this horrible thing that's happening. And it's like a slaughterhouse footage.
Have Food you Inc. watched, is... by the way? Yeah, sorry. Food Inc. is...
No, please ask.
Have you watched like Earthlings and Dominion?
I watched Dominion.
Okay.
Recently, kind of, like a year ago. Because... I was doing this and people were like, oh, you gotta see Dominion. I'm like, I went vegan almost 20 years ago. I don't need to see Dominion. Like, I don't need it. And then, oh, you gotta see it. Yeah, so I saw
it. It's,
yeah. Have you seen it?
I did try and then I watched like 10 minutes and I wanted to like throw up because it's so intense. And I thought I should, you know, because I want to learn everything there is so that I can inform everyone about what it is that there is. And I feel like now I've become like, I started my vegan content creation journey like earlier this year, last year now. But like basically, and then I just decided to just inform myself on everything and I try to watch as much. And then now I'm realizing I should be more kind to myself because I get really emotionally affected when I do, you know, look at that stuff. That's why I'm asking you as well, because you are someone who's also made that connection. So if you watch that, like, it's so hard to watch, you know?
Yeah, I didn't need to make that connection about the brutality of the industry because I knew it was a form of oppression. And I decided that I was against oppression. I'd been around the world. I'd lived in all these countries. I've lived in all these places all over the world. And then I found myself in Berkeley, California, where I'm surrounded by like liberals and people like university types, not necessarily liberals, but university types talking about big ideas and shit. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm against violence and oppression. That's like my guiding thing, my lodestone. And people, and then someone said, well, you're a hypocrite if you're not vegetarian. I'm like, I am vegetarian. Well, then you're a hypocrite if you're not vegan. I went like, oh. And I don't even remember that person. I don't remember that person's name. I know that person wasn't vegan, but they were like calling out an inconsistency in my personal philosophy. And that was enough for me. Yeah, right. So I didn't need to see any of that shit. In fact, it wasn't available. Like, you didn't see it. The internet was around. Like, we had the internet in 2005, but it wasn't like it is today. Like, we weren't doing this shit.
Nice.
You know? Yeah. It was slow. But anyway, but what Earthlings, sorry, what Dominion did for me was make me very angry. And so I felt just angry that people that I call friends look at this and they're okay with it. People that, I was angry at myself because like I've been involved in industries and around this stuff and been like, yeah, I know about it. I got angry that more isn't being done. And I was already on this journey, like more heavier activism, but I started feeling like the vegan world is now. I don't want to be around people who aren't vegan. I don't want to, be around people who are going to continue, who can watch watch the chicks going into this macerator. And if you can still eat eggs after that, you can't be my friend. Like just that. The thousands of chicks going into the grinder on their second day of life. If you can watch that and you're cool with eating eggs, you're not going to be my friend.
But do you think people have actually, but do you think they've actually seen that then and are able to continue? Like, I can't imagine.
No, they have seen it. I don't think they have seen it. I think they're lying to you when they say, oh, I know that, Farah. I know everything.
Right?
I think they're lying.
Exactly. Even I was like, you don't know.
You're a liar. Yeah. Don't fucking lie to my face. And you should call them. They're lying to you. I think you're lying because I have more faith in you than that. I have faith in your human. I have faith. I believe in you that you would not watch the pigs in the gas chamber and still eat the bacon. I have. I believe in you.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
Because if you can watch the pigs in the gas chamber and then
another level.
and be like, bacon, please.
Oh God. No, but that's so wrong. I think I think Earthling Ed talked about it, how as kids we are taught, not to harm others and not to harm animals, be kind to animals and stuff. And then when we grow up, we teach them the exact opposite, that we can harm animals for specific food, or you can do this. And then it's kind of like, if there was a kid who did harm animals, like that would be the dangerous kid that eventually turns into a psychopath and starts killing people. I think they said that Ted Bundy used to, have perform animal abuse before he started killing humans. So in that sense,
they all do.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so unnatural for us to be killing animals. And that's why the cognitive dissonance comes in, because it's so unnatural for us to be doing something that we are doing. And then to make that realization that what it is that we're doing is wrong. Like, that's the one step, like, towards veganism, to recognize it and then make those changes to make sure that we don't do it.
Absolutely. You know? I 100% agree. Yeah. Because it comes down to a value of life. And if you don't value life, then why not kill an animal? Why not kill a person if you don't value
crazy
life?
Right?
It's a fundamental value, and I think that we share it, and that when you're confronted with it, and that's why I got angry.
Nice.
because people are lying. People have been lying to me. I hate it when I find out that I'm the dummy. I'm the dumb one that everyone lied to, you know.
But I don't know if they're actually lying. Like, they're lying to themselves more than they're lying to you. I think.
Same thing.
I know, but I think that these people, they're lying to themselves in the sense that they convincing themselves that it's okay, because society does it. So if they do it, then why can't I do it? And that's where we have to, like, as vegan advocates, step in and to be like, look, like, what society's doing doesn't mean that it's okay just because society's doing it.
Totally. It looks like Fast Food Nation's actually the movie I'm talking about. Fast Food Nation's Hollywood movie. I think that was adapted from Food Inc. though. I think Food Inc.
Cool.
was the book that they adapted from.
I'm excited to watch it now.
Yeah, Fast Food Nation. Yeah, with Greg Kinnear. Yeah, that's who's in the I think it's a wonderful movie, and it's about it, and it's an actual movie, so it's not like sitting through abusive footage like yeah. watching Dominion or something. I've always recommended it. Plus, documentaries are boring, man. I'm not gonna watch Cowspiracy. No, I did watch Cowspiracy.
Cowspiracy and What the Health. I think those are the main like on Netflix. And then Game Changers, I feel like pretty good. Like people actually always talk about Game Changers.
Yeah, people love the health shit. Yeah. People love all that health shit. They love like, oh, how do I get big muscles? Because there's a lot of masculinity is tied to how much animals you. That's so stupid. And I'm so sick
crazy,
of it.
Right? Because the real masculinity is like kindness to animals. Like that's the most attractive for a man to be kind to animals.
Especially like a heterosexual heteronormative situations, women are not attracted to men who are slitting the throats of animals covered in blood. They think it's gross.
No. Yeah, exactly. No, women love men who are kind to animals. So
yeah, and kind to them. Because guess what? If a man is going to abuse an animal, he's probably going to abuse a woman.
Quote of the night. Oh my God. No, it's
not
true.
That far away. Yeah.
No, it's true. It's so true. So true.
Yep. It's unfortunate. Anyway, Game Changers was great. Yep. Thank you everybody for watching. I'm going to play the, sorry, I forgot. Normally I do this. I do this to show everyone that. That's the getting ready to go music.
Oh, I'm not hearing it.
You're not hearing the getting ready to go music? Oh.
Why do I hear it? Okay, anyway, it's okay.
Hopefully everyone else can hear it.
Yeah. I hope so too.
Farrah Vegan is the handle. Her handle is definitely linked. I linked it a lot today on all of the socials for Vegan, of course. Yeah. It should be in the show notes. If it's not, I'll add it at the end of this. In the meantime, please do follow and subscribe for her. And if you haven't already, if you're on one of the other platforms, we will continue to broadcast those platforms on LinkedIn, Twitter, Twitch, and all the others. But if you haven't, please hop on over to YouTube for the hot second that it takes to hit that subscribe button. It's greatly appreciated because we are trying to be monetized on YouTube. Speaking of monetization, we have an awesome amazon.com/shop/vegan, of course, that I've been working on that where we could put all of the stuff on that mentioned on the show goes on the Amazon, including What a Fish Knows, the inner lives of our underwater cousins that Farrah just recommended. Nice. So that'll be that'll be on there today. I put the link in the nice. Chat earlier. If you don't want to buy anything, that's okay. Go over to amazon.com/shop/vegan, of course, and just look, because Amazon will love us, and they will show it to other people. That's how Amazon works. So please just click on it, go over there, look at it. Be known that you looked, and that's it. That's all you have to do. You can also go to etsy.com/shop and get a Carne Tears mug and drink Carne Tears with me every morning, because we are live every morning right here talking to vegans. Last thing to mention is our Patreon. Patreon.com/vegan, of course, makes things possible, like this premium subscription to StreamYard, where so that we can continue to do the show. This service that we use isn't free. So if you'd like to help support the show, please go to patreon.com/vegan, of course. You are greatly appreciated, and thank you to all of you who are already Patreon subscribers. You should put some books on your shop. It's there. The books are in the shop. Go to amazon.com/shop/vegan, of course. Thank you, Jonesy, for the wonderful suggestion. There are books on there. Benny Malone's book is in there. Defending Animal Rights by Tom Reagan is there. I think Ed Winter's book is there, which I've read like half of. The one that's Vegan Propaganda. This is Vegan Propaganda. I read that.
Yeah. Nice. Me too.
We have a thank you, Farrah and Sky. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
I'm so glad you were here. Thank you so much, Farrah. And that's our show, guys. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye, guys. Don't forget, Sunday is Vegan Sunday School, so we take Saturdays off. I usually post stuff on Saturdays. Jack the Puppet might be on, but Sundays we have Vegan Sunday School where you can be part of the show. You can be on the show. I put the link in the description and in the chat so you can join us as part of Vegan Sunday School to let us know how you are living your life as an audacious vegan. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you. Bye.